Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshick.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Podcast listeners, thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 44 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. Now, today's podcast is all about the snatch lift. So if you're a weightlifter or a CrossFitter, I think you'll really enjoy the content that we are about to share. I say we because I'm joined today by a friend, Chad Vaughn. This is actually his second time on the show. And if you've paid any attention to the content that I've made on Instagram over the past 2 years now, almost on Olympic lifting technique, you've likely seen many of the collaborations that I've done with Chad, as he has a ton of knowledge to bring to the world. So Chad, thank you so much for coming on the show. For those out there that don't know who you are, can you give a quick background on who you are and your experience in the sport of weightlifting?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on again, Aaron. Aaron, I'm excited to be here to, of course, talk about the snatch. I mean, that's what I do every single day is just talk about the Olympic lift. So I'm fortunate to be able to do that. I am a two-time Olympian in the sport of Olympic-style weightlifting. I went in 2004 and 2008. So been doing that sport specifically for a little over 20 years now. Competed on the international stage for about 10 years there in the middle somewhere. But started coaching or teaching and coaching in the CrossFit community. I like to say teaching because that's what I really feel most comfortable doing and most passionate about. But I've been doing that since early 2010. So it's been about 9 years now, and just loving every minute of it. And, you know, of course, just continuing to learn as I go and to be able to share the knowledge that I gained as an athlete and now as a coach through the years. Just love it. Just love it.
That's awesome. Well, I'm very honored to have you on the show again. For all you guys out there, if you're not following Chad on all of his different platforms, especially on Instagram at Oli Chad, he's got just so much information out there for you guys to pick up, little tips and cues that can help all of your Olympic lifts. So today's show is going to be titled The Top 5 Snatch Tips. We're going to go over a number of different factors that you may or may not be doing correctly that can bring your technique and your performance to the next level. So not only will you be moving better, but you'll be setting your body up to perform to an even greater potential, which means for a lot of us, new PRs. And when you hit big weights with great technique, man, that's what weightlifting is all about. So before we dive into the top five tips, we need to start with ground zero, or the prerequisite for performing the snatch lift, which is having a good looking squat. I think Chad and I are definitely on the exact same page here, that if you cannot perform a good looking squat, whether that's a back squat, a front squat, especially an overhead squat, you shouldn't yet be jumping to performing a more dynamic movement like the snatch. It's like this: the squat sets the foundation for our athletic body and our performance pursuits, almost like the base to a pyramid. If you squat correctly, it means you have a baseline, or basically a sufficient amount of stability, mobility, coordination, and strength. The better the quality and the stronger your squat, the wider your base is. And we know that a pyramid can only be as tall as it is wide. So if an athlete cannot squat correctly and then tries to perform very powerful and dynamic movements like the snatch, it's like they're trying to build the height of their own personal pyramid while leaving the base very narrow. And it doesn't take a master's in engineering to tell that the structure the athlete is trying to build is not very stable compared to a normal pyramid with a wide base. So the next storm that's going to blow through, this structure is going to more easily topple over. And this is how injuries occur. So solidifying your foundation with simple movements, or more simple movements like the squat first, before then moving on to the more dynamic movements of the snatch, is ideal. So that's sort of the ground zero thing. And Chad, do you have any thoughts on this, solidifying that squat first before doing the Olympic lifts? I know we see a lot of people that are entering in weightlifting for the first time, or entering in CrossFit for the first time, and they love to jump quickly to doing snatches and cleans, but they don't even have the ability to perform a good looking barbell squat first.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me just first say that's the biggest reason why I pretty much immediately fell in love with your Instagram handle whenever I first found out that you were online there, maybe a couple of years ago now, because it falls so much in line with what I'm passionate about And my favorite thing to teach and to work on is the squat. And it's first and foremost, and you and I are very much on the same page there, as you mentioned, but probably to an annoying extent. I think probably a lot of my athletes or all of my athletes probably have heard me talk about the squat way too much, but it's what I love. And you and I could easily probably record a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hour episode on just that alone. But I just want to reinforce what you said and make sure that, the listeners out there understand just how important and how critical it is. Yes, every single day, I get, as you do, you get messages on Instagram. I get messages there, or just come across people when I'm traveling and doing seminars and clinics and that kind of thing, to where they're interested in the technique of the pull and the Olympic lifts. And we're going to get into that here pretty quickly. But when I see them receive, or when I see them try to do a squat, an air squat, or a squat with the holding a plate out front or a kettlebell, whatever that may be, it's very, very compensated. So, all the things that they're trying to learn for technique and that they're trying to execute, as you mentioned, it's like, they're almost two different extents, just spinning their wheels, mm-hmm. When it comes to what they really want to accomplish with the Olympic lift. So, breaking it down. And what I find too, is that more people than not, if they just take a little bit of time to add a few drills here and there into their warm up or something like that, maybe not quickly, but over time, those things can add up and make a big, big difference in their squat and their mobility and their effectiveness. And then it bleeds into, their Olympic lifts as well. And also what it does is it bleeds into their ability to get in a better start position, for example, to keep the bar closer, to get into a better position at the knee, all these things that require mobility as well. They become better at everything, or they become able to do those things more easily.
Definitely. I 100% agree. So let's transition now. We've got 5 different tips for the listeners today that can help improve their technique with the snatch lift. The very first one that you said was confirm and solidify your stance and grip. Can we go into that first?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the stance first. So I think that as I see people move and as I see videos and stuff like that, for the most part, I think athletes are using a decent or a good stance or a good foot position. One of the things that I just want to make sure that they stay away from is being too wide and too turned out. So if you're leaning over to pick up a snatch or a clean even, but of course we're talking about the snatch, and your feet are so wide and turned out that your knees are pointing inside of your toes, then we need to be careful of that. I would say probably ideal, and I understand that maybe everyone's not completely capable of this at the moment, but again, developing your squat and mobility and stuff like that can help this change. But I would say ideal is probably about hip to shoulder width apart with a very slight turn out of the toe. I like 5 degrees. I'm okay with athletes using a straight foot if they have the mobility and they're comfortable and they feel strong there. I'm okay with them being turned out as much as maybe 15 degrees, but I would say that ideal mark where I would try to get any athlete that I come across is about, again, hip to shoulder width with that 5 degree turn out of the toe. And again, that big reason is because if you're wider and more turned out than that, you're just going to set yourself up and have a little bit of a harder time pulling through the rest of that movement.
Yeah. And I think a big thing for people to understand, especially when we're talking about the width of the stance, you definitely need to play around. It takes a lot of trial and error to sort of find what's right for your body. I mean, we have these ideal set of standards for generally approaching the bar. But if you look at the spectrum of lifters on an international stage, you'll see some that are a little bit more comfortable with a little bit more narrow stance on the start of their pull and a little bit wider. And the same thing goes for the receiving position. But again, all those athletes have done a little bit of trial and error and found what's right for them. I think the big thing, we don't want to try to push an athlete into what's not anatomically right for their body. I've seen some coaches before, they'll say, well, a wider stance is going to be better for them at start for their pull. And they'll have them maybe start with their feet on the outsides of a plate as sort of like a baseline measurement. Like, don't bring your feet in closer than this. And while some athletes can definitely do that if they've got the necessary, for sure, hip mobility to go that wide and, great looking ankle mobility. But for some athletes, like if you get down there and you just feel like your hips are just blocked and you cannot sit down there comfortably without it feeling like your hips are going to break off, maybe that's just not right for your anatomy, and a little bit more narrower stance is right for you. And so definitely try to find, like Chad said, start off in that normal shoulder width stance And again, a 5-degree turnout for most people, if you've never seen like an actual angle measurement, that's basically straightforward. I mean, yeah. It's very slight. I mean, it's not a very big toe out angle. If, you know, a 30-degree toe angle is actually too much, I would say, for most people, like you said. Mm-hmm. So your feet are going to be very close to straightforward, not perfectly straightforward for most, but relatively straightforward. So that definitely makes sense. And then sort of finding what's right for your body. And that sort of brings us into our next thing, which is sort of assessing and strengthening the overhead squat. What goes into that? Because there's a lot of individual variability with that. What do you find are sort of the biggest things that limit people in their overhead squat?
Yeah, well, the first part of that is I would say confirm your grip as well on the bar for your snatch specifically. And once you do that, that's going to bleed into that overhead squat position. Of course, I think a lot of people that I come across, their grip is too narrow. And one of the reasons why they are what I would say is too narrow is that they're more comfortable with the bar overhead. With that, with the snatch grip, with the, where I like to see it, it's pretty wide. And especially for certain individuals with different limb length proportions and that kind of thing. So it can feel a little bit weaker overhead. It can feel very strenuous on the wrist. I hear that all the time, you know, just athletes throwing those wrist wraps on and all that kind of thing. We don't have to get into that too much, Aaron. I'll go off on some tangents there. But what I'm looking for, guys, with your snatch grip is when you're standing up with the bar in your hand and your body is relaxed and straight and your shoulders are hanging down with your arms straight, I want the bar to be resting pretty much right in the middle of the pubic bone. And the reason why is because that's going to set you up to be able to contact your body. We do want contact. We do want literal contact with the bar in your body when you snatch and when you clean. And that's worth mentioning, worth you looking into a little bit more as well, if you're not already doing that. But if your hands are more narrow than that, then if you're a guy, what's going to happen is you contact and with your arm straight, you're going to rack yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to come up above that. If you're, whether you're a guy or a girl and you're contacting your body and it's too low, that's going to cause lacking extension. It's going to cause the bar to be pushed out and around a little bit more in a less powerful contact position in general. So check your grip in that regard. And if at all possible, strengthen that hand position overhead. Now, there are some individuals that I've come across, not very many at all, with the snatch grip that I'd like them to have for the proper contact on their body. The bar is kind of either an inch above the head or touching the head. So obviously, they're going to be an individual that's going to have to bring their hands in a little bit and modify their pulling technique a little bit, just like someone with really long arms and a short torso, for example. There may not be enough arm or enough bar for them to go as wide as we'd like. Big super heavyweight males, for example, they may not have enough bar, so they may have to modify their pulling technique for a little bit. But I promise you, most of you out there listening, you're going to be able to find that grip that I'm talking about that sets right in the middle of the pubic bone. Allow that to be your contact point. Again, going back to if it's too narrow, another thing that happens more often than not than contacting low is one, no contact at all because you're hesitating to contact, or you're going to shrug the shoulders in or bend the arms too soon to get it up to that higher contact point. So just take those things into consideration, guys. See if you can get your hands out to that spot where you can contact your body with straight arms or straighter arms and get that more powerful position. And then we can lead into kind of assessing and strengthening that overhead position now with that specific snatch grip.
So would you say that more often than not, you see athletes that are learning to snatch at least probably lean toward being too narrow than too wide when they're learning?
I think most athletes are, again, especially when they're starting, they tend to want to be a little too narrow. We do come across, or I come across a lot of athletes, as I'm sure you do, Aaron, that don't have the mobility to be very narrow at all overhead. So I think we're going to dig into that a little bit coming up here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So they may be wider than I would like them to be just because their overhead mobility is so lacking.
Mm-hmm. I like the cue. It's very simple. Just, you know, get your hands in your snatch position, stand straight up and down, and where's that bar contacting you? You know, a lot of people, they, like you said, if your hands are too narrow and it's contacting you right in the groin, like we see all the people that try to sell those snatch shorts, which I think are ridiculous. You're obviously hitting yourself and pulling incorrectly if you're trying to wear a pair of shorts like that. So as strengthening and then getting into a good overhead squat position, there's a few different areas that I think most people are limited in. You can't get into a good overhead squat, again, just like we talked about with that sort of ground zero. We have a foundational crack in our ability to get into a good position with an overhead squat first. We need to strengthen that and solidify that before we start moving to the more dynamic snatch. So a few things that we can look at. Ankle mobility, I know everyone harps on that, or I harp on that all the time. It's very simple. Ankle mobility is one of the most limiting factors in getting into a good position. And the more upright you need your chest during a movement, the more ankle mobility you need, because it's going to allow your knee to translate further forward over your toes. So especially if we're talking about a snatch, we need a much more upright chest to get the bar in a good position compared to a back squat. So very simple test. If this isn't the first time you've seen it, you're going to kneel down by a wall and you're going to place your big toe 5 inches from the wall. If you don't have a ruler, make a fist, extend your thumb. That's around 5 inches for most people. Without your heel popping off the floor, can you drive your knee over your toe to touch the wall? If you want to be able to perform a good looking snatch, you should have great looking ankle mobility. Even if you're wearing weightlifting shoes, which I think whenever we're talking about doing snatches, most of us should be in weightlifting shoes because they're going to allow us to get into even better positions than we could with just flat sole shoes on. But we need good ankle mobility. So we don't want to put on a pair of weightlifting shoes just to disguise and hide the fact or cover up the fact that you have poor ankle mobility. So that's one test. If you did not pass that test, likely you need to be doing things like foam rolling your calf muscles, some stretches, or maybe even banded joint mobilizations if you felt a pinch or block sensation in the front side of your calf or in the front side of your ankle as you drove your knee over your toe. The second thing is we're looking up the body at upper body mobility, because that can also be a very big limiting factor. One very quick, easy test you can do, grab a PVC pipe, sit with your back against the wall, sit with your legs crossed. You're going to start with your hands maybe in about a clean grip position. Your palms are going to be down facing the wall or facing the ground, and you're just going to bring your hands up above your head, keep your elbows locked. Can you touch your hands to the wall behind your head? If not, that's possibly showing that you have some lat restrictions for sure, or pec restrictions. But if you could, then turn your hands the other way. So have your palms facing up and try to do the same thing, keeping your elbows locked. If there was a big difference between the two, that's definitely a significant test for restrictions in either the lats or the pecs. And you need to be doing different mobility drills prior to doing all your dynamic work to improve your ability to open up your shoulders and your upper body. The last test that could be holding you back is limited thoracic spine mobility. So if we look at the mid back, the shoulder blades move on top of the thoracic spine, your mid back. And if the T-spine is stiff and not able to extend sufficiently, especially if you sit all day long and are looking at your phone and you basically conform to sort of that rounded or kyphotic posture, the shoulder blades aren't going to be able to move correctly, which is then going to limit your overhead positioning, how you move your arms. So what you can do, you can just tape an X on the ground. You're going to sit right in the middle of the tape so that the X is opening in front of you like a V. You're going to place a PVC pipe across your chest, and then you're going to rotate as far as you can to each side and see if you can get that PVC pipe to align with one of those X tape lines on the ground, which is showing that you have at least 45 degrees of thoracic rotation to each side. So you're looking for, do you have an asymmetry? Like, can you go 45 degrees one way or 50, and then the other way you're about maybe 35 degrees? That's a red flag that we need to look at the thoracic spine. Or if you're limited both ways, unable to hit that 45 degree mark, thoracic rotation assessments give us a good idea of how the thoracic spine extends as an entire unit. So that is just a very easy assessment that you can do on your own to see if you have limited mobility in the mid back. That again could be hurting your ability to get into a good position with your overhead squat and then therefore the receiving position of your snatch. Those are the big mobility exercises that we're looking for right there. So as far as mobility, we're able to get, now that we have a good grip, we're able to get into a good overhead squat position. I think the next thing that you had, I guess tip number three, is then learning the coordination, and you like teaching from the high hang to start. Is that correct?
I do it in a number of different ways, but typically if you know, what's typically called a top down approach to a progression when you're teaching is, mm-hmm. you know, you'll start by, grip and stance first, and then look at their overhead position. Basically just the way that we're doing. Another way that I've started to do it a lot over the last number of years, just basically through experimentation and stuff like that, especially if I know the athlete's already been lifting and already been through progressions and stuff like that, I'll actually go from the bottom up and not necessarily try to do it through progressions with movement, but progressions through what they're focusing on. That's for another time and another story. But yeah, that high hang position or that hip snatch position. And the first thing I'll say that is that if you're doing a snatch from the hip, there are different names for it, so don't get confused, but you can do a snatch from the hip, staying perfectly upright as in a high hang snatch, or you can do one with the knees slightly bent, but your knees would be slightly bending in the other one as well. But you can do it with your knees slightly bent and leaned over the bar slightly as well. That's actually the only way that I ever did a hip snatch when I was an athlete in training. It wasn't until I became a teacher where I learned that there was this thing called the high hang snatch and seen benefit in it through teaching and stuff like that. But I just want individuals to know that it's not wrong to do it either way. I think it's just a matter of applying the one that's most beneficial to you. Now, for someone that might benefit from the straight up high hang hip snatch position would be someone that is very strong in the low back and hamstrings. So they like to use them more within the pull of the lift. So they need to learn to use their legs a little bit more by dipping straight down. Someone that maybe lifts around the knees a lot when they pull from the ground, or their knees are always too far forward in their setup, then they might try the hip snatch where you lean over a little bit. Now, in either case, you need to learn to get into this high hang position. What I find a lot of times is that athletes have just a hard time coordinating. They've got a big arch in their back. Maybe they're on their heels. Their chest is poking out. And so the first part of that is making sure that before you set up that you're taking your time, that you're grabbing the bar with your snatch grip. It's right. Your foot position is where you want it to be. And that you just simply relax in your standing position. A lot of times as a coach, whenever I say, hey, okay, pick up the bar with your snatch grip and just stand up. Already, the athletes are just tightening every muscle in their body. You know, they've got an arch back and a bent knee, and they're tight and they're ready to go. And I'm like, hey, learn to relax a little bit. So just get into a straight, relaxed standing position. Now, some athletes have a hard time knowing what a straight position is. So in that case, I might say, hey, go ahead and flex your quads to lock your knees, squeeze your butt to straighten out your hips, and crunch your abs or guard from a gut punch, whatever that cue may need to be, to get them to not arch, to get them in that straight position first before they dip down.
Yeah, I definitely see a lot of athletes, especially weightlifters, will sort of conform to that anterior pelvic tilt position just because most of the lifts, especially if you're doing a lot of pulling from the ground and then going into the full lifts, you're in a very extended position. So it's, I think, more common in weightlifting compared to powerlifting to see sort of that exaggerated anterior pelvic tilt. Mm-hmm. So they'll stand up in their high hang position trying to do this, and it'll just be completely overextended in their low back, which is going to tip their pelvis forward. They're going to have an elongated hamstrings, very tight hip flexors. So at the start, they're not actually setting themselves up to perform well because they're starting in a less than ideal position. I think just for visual, so basically you're saying stand up tall in that good, you know, stance, make sure that we're having a good braced core, knees locked. And then it's either we're going to sit straight down, so a vertical couple inch dip, and then go into your snatch, or you're basically going to hinge just a couple inches down. So push your butt back, chest forward, and then start from there. And I, at least in my own training, I found that I'm much more stronger with a slight hinge at that. I think I've seen a post where you've talked about how you feel stronger in your doing a hinge as well. But sometimes just doing both varieties allows you sometimes to strengthen your weakest area, because sometimes as lifters, especially if we're doing our own programming, it's easy for us to do variations of lifts that we are strongest in because they're more fun. We can lift more weight.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's almost like, hey, let's take a step back and try this. Yes, you're not going to be able to lift more weight, but it's going to be challenging you in a different regard that may have even a better carryover to a lift that you may not even thought about before.
Yeah. Yeah. I would absolutely agree. But what I would say is that before you guys individualize which hip snatch you perform more often, or you feel you need more work on, learn to coordinate the high hang. So the one where you're dipping straight down. And what that will do is that it will, you know, it will allow you to set up in the other one better anyways. And also it'll carry over better into the dip of your jerk, where if you're struggling with the high hang setup in the snatch, I promise you, you're struggling with the dip of the jerk as well. So from this straight position, before you even dip down to set up, now we need to learn how to dip down perfectly straight. So even when I finally get some athletes to get into that straight position, I'm not forcing them into it by, like I said, locking the knees, squeezing the glutes and crunching the abs, they might have a hard time maintaining it. So now when they dip down, they're so used to being out of position that their body just automatically arches the back. Those hips go back way too far. They go back to their heels too much and all these kind of things. So understand to dip perfectly straight up and down to get into this hip position that we want, the knees are going to have to go forward and out quite significantly, just like the dip of your jerk. All right. So take a look at that. Take a picture of yourself. Take a video. Even do some wall dips. I know, Aaron, you and I have shared wall dips for the benefit mm-hmm. of the jerk. Well, you can do the same thing up against the wall for learning to set up in this high hang position. All right. So once you're in this position, you're comfortable that it's good. Again, your torso should look a mirror. It should be a mirror image. Your torso, your arms, your shoulders, your where your elbows are positioned, all that stuff that's going on from the hip up should look exactly the same in this high hang setup position as it does in the standing, if you're straight and relaxed the way that we want you to be there. Now, from this position, especially if you're not used to it and you're used to being kind of set up in this compensated position, what you're going to see is a lot of compensation as you move. So instead of going straight up and extending the way that we want you to, you may re-dip. And when you re-dip, you may do a number of different things. You may shoot to your heels. Your hips may shoot back. You may arch. You may lean forward. Your head may bobble around and doing all kind of funny different things. So you've got to learn to take off from that solid position and move straight up, keeping your head and eyes in a solid position. If you're having trouble doing that, one thing that you can do is just, again, slow down. Slowing down is so important in everything that you do, especially if you're learning and you're faulting in any way. Just slow the movement down. So you could do just dip down and hold it, stand up slowly without even doing a snatch, just to learn that straight position, keeping your body and your head and eyes in a solid position. You can even do some snatches moving slower for the first 2 or 3 inches as you stand up, and then speed up as you go through extension. So slowing down in this position, down into that position. Just let me add on top of that right now, if you're doing all these, or whether you're doing those things or not, I recommend when you set up in this high hang position that you hold that position at least 2 seconds before you take off. And that will help with consistency and learning and strengthening, all that good stuff. Most of the time when I do hip snatches, snatches from the knee, anything from the hang, I'll go slowly into that position. I'll hold it for 1 or 2 seconds before I go. Even as long as I've been doing this, it's beneficial to me. It keeps me consistent. It keeps me solid. So guaranteed, if you're learning, you need to be holding those positions on every single rep. Yes, it may limit the amount of weight that you're able to lift from those positions, but it doesn't matter. It's going to carry over into your snatch better and allow you to lift more in your snatch. If you're compensated in the setup position or coming out of this setup position, I promise you that that's what your body's going to know. You're going to be stronger and more familiar with those compensated positions, and your body's going to compensate in certain ways coming through that position within the pull of the regular snatch.
That's perfect. And I think also understanding sort of what's going on with your feet. I think a lot of times, and we've definitely hit this with a number of our different posts that we've put up, is that a lot of people were thinking so much about our upper body, where the bar is at, how we're going to be pulling. And we sort of forget about where our feet are and having those feet gripping the ground and having almost that very stable and glued feet to the ground positioning. Because if we're starting our dip and already shifting towards our toes, just like on the jerk, doesn't matter, the rest of our pole is going to be completely off because we're losing our foundation and glued to the ground. So the rest of that movement is going to be completely uncoordinated. So while you're doing this hip hang from the high hang, you know, making sure, are my feet grabbing the ground? Is my big toe jammed down? Am I shifting too far back or too far forward? Before any movement even occurs, where are my feet? How's my base of support? And then going from there.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, just in general, one of the things that I see a lot as athletes are doing repetition from any position is that maybe they lose their hand position a little bit. When you're doing a snatch, most people are going to jump their feet out a little bit, probably more than I would like. We don't have to get into that. But if your feet do shift when you do a snatch, and especially if they change a lot, whether they do or not, you need to make sure that you're repositioning back to that good stance that you're trying to reinforce, that you're trying to develop. So go back a step, be consistent with where your hands are and where your feet are, and then go into the next rep if you're doing multiple repetitions.
Perfect. So would you recommend doing some of these high hang snatches slow at first and then going a little bit quicker as a warm up for most athletes before they get into their regular snatch work for the day?
Yeah, especially if you know it's a position, if you try to get into that position after this recording, for example, and maybe you haven't ever been into it, or maybe you haven't been into it very much. And if either of those are the case, we need to get you into that position so your body knows it, so it becomes more familiar with it. So absolutely, if it's not a position that you've ever been in or that you're in often, I think it would be a great way to warm up your snatch. And again, whether you're using it as a warm up or whether you're doing it as an exercise where you're trying to lift a lot of weight, just remember, go slow, get into your standing position, take a second to feel your straight body position, that you're in a good position there, slowly dip down. If you need a tempo, let's say 2 seconds, one, hold it for 2 seconds in the standing position, one, two, dip down for 2 seconds, one, two, hold that dip position for 2 seconds, one, two, and then go. You can go fast from there if you're moving well. If you're not, then again, come up slowly and then move fast at the end.
Perfect. That's great advice. I think a lot of people can take something away from that. All right, so let's go to point number four. Tip number four is going to be assessing and strengthening the transition point, so the bar just above the knees.
Yeah, absolutely. With the bar at the level of the top of the kneecap. So I personally call that a transition point. In CrossFit weightlifting, in CrossFit, they call it the launch position. And I actually like that name a lot as well, because it tells the individual, okay, this is the part of the lift. This is the point to where you need to now turn it on and get after it from the knee, moving up. I would say that, too many athletes out there that I come across aren't familiar enough with this position. Now, it's a position that is taught in most progressions. But again, just like that high hang position, that may be the only time that you're in it. You need to break the movement apart and make sure that these positions are strong and that your body is familiar with them. You can't just go through one progression and then just do regular snatches for the rest of your career. You need to break it apart. And so this transition point is, I would say, the most important position within the pull of your lift, because if it's not good, then the rest of the lift is going to be off. Who cares what your extension is if the position at the knee is off, because it's just not going to be consistent. It's not going to be what it could be. You need to learn to get from the floor, your start position, to an ideal, as perfect of a transition point as you possibly can. And it starts with getting there with your snatch grip deadlifts on the way up and on the way down. I always tell people get two for the price of one when you do any snatch or clean deadlift, by going slow in reverse, feeling that position above the knee, and then trying to recreate the start position as you go down. And we can talk about that more when we get there. But when you're getting into this position, the same thing that we talked about before, be slow. One, get into your straight standing position, slowly lower to that above knee position. Now, when you're slowly lowering, what I see a lot is that athletes will lower the bar and they'll let the bar separate from their body. So go ahead and brush the quad down. That's not saying that you have to brush the quad up when you're doing a snatch, but just reinforce that the bar being close to your body. It will actually help you get into a better position as well. But what we're looking for when the bar is at the level of the top of the kneecap, remember, I'm talking about the bar literally touching the top of the kneecap, no lower, no higher, but right there. That the reason why it's called a transition point, guys, I want you to understand, is because the way that I look at it, it divides the pull in half. It will, if you want to call the portion of the lift from the floor to above the knee, the leg drive, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter to me as long as you understand the concept, but we'll say that that's the leg drive. And from the knee up, we can call it the jump portion of the lift. We can call it the power portion of the lift, whatever that may be, whatever makes sense for you. It divides the pull in half from those two spots. We leg drive to set ourselves up in the most powerful position at the transition, and then we can fire from there. All right. Again, like we talked about with the hip position or the high hang position, if it's compensated or not what it could be, and you're doing your hang snatches from that position, or you're doing your deadlifts in certain ways, then again, what do you think your body's going to want to do when you're doing a regular snatch? So it's very important to, one, know the proper position, know the position that you want to get into, become more and more aware of it with light weights. And then at some point, you've got to load the weight down and get really strong in that position. For example, you need to be able to slowly raise the bar from your start position to that above knee position and pause for 5, even 10 seconds, whatever that may be. You need to be able to hold your body in a solid position with a bar at that level. Again, you can do that going up or going down with more weight than you can snatch or clean. Okay. That will tell you that your body is aware enough of that position and strong enough in that position that it's not going to compensate very much or any at all when you're doing your maximal snatches. All right. So what do we want to see in this position with the bar at the level of the top of the kneecap? Number one, Aaron, like we talk about a lot, let's look at your feet. Let's make sure that your entire foot is completely buried into the ground. Now, what does that mean? One of the things that I used to teach Aaron when I first started is I would say, okay, let's get to your heels a little bit when you're in this position. And the only reason I taught that is because I just heard so many other coaches say that and teach that. And so as I did that through the years, I started to not like it. And I started to think, okay, let me go look at a lot of other elite lifters. What are they doing? What do I do? Well, I actually don't shift at all. So I want your foot as buried into the ground in this position as it is in your start position. I don't want you on your toes and I don't want you on your heels, so to speak. I want you on both. So that means that your heel is solid, yes, but your toes are buried into the ground as well. So this is going to be further forward for many of you out there listening than you're used to, but it's an important position to strengthen. It's an important point to be aware of. And that's the first thing that you need to think about, because I like to think of things from the feet up. Now, once your toes are buried into the ground there, your entire foot is solid. I want your shin to be vertical or close to it. It doesn't have to be perfectly vertical, but it needs to be close. And that can kind of be a little bit individual dependent. When you're getting into this position, if you're not sure, it's not going to hurt you to be vertical. Okay. I like for the knees to be neutral. They can be flared a little bit. Honestly, when I do a snatch, my knees are flared a little bit at this above knee position, but just to exaggerate a little bit, I try to put them neutral when I'm working this position from the hang, just to strengthen that and to solidify that a little bit more as well. The back is of course going to be tight and solid. The shoulders are going to be on top or slightly in front of the bar with the head and eyes looking straight ahead.
That's perfect. And I think we made a post on this a couple of weeks back about the difference between doing sort of a snatch, pull, and deadlift, especially with a pause, versus doing their traditional powerlifting deadlift, mm-hmm. and how when we're doing these pulls as Olympic lifters, as CrossFitters, we have an end goal of solidifying our strength and movement pattern so that it can mm-hmm. have carryover to our more dynamic lift of the snatch and clean, specifically the snatch, what we're talking about today. So if you are pulling more weight, obviously our goal is basically, if your goal is to snatch 120 kilos, you better be able to do good looking pulls with 140 kilos. That pull with 140 kilos should look exactly like what you want to snatch, it shouldn't break down and have your back round a little bit, or the small compensations that are okay for a powerlifting deadlift, mm-hmm. because the end goal right. is just to get the bar to the hip. So if your back moves a little bit, or it's not, you know, the most perfect pull for a deadlift and powerlifting, your goal is only to get to the hips. With the mm-hmm. snatch, our goal is to get to the hips, but then you have to get it all the way above your head. So while you're doing these pulls, technique, like you said, is key. So you have to have your knees and your back and your arms in the exact same position that we would want to mimic what we're trying to solidify with the full snatch lift. And that's why I think you also said, we talked about when you go from the hang and you're going from the top down. I think too often when I see athletes doing, if it's like programmed in their lift for the day, they've got, you know, hang from the knee, they go so fast. They almost lower the bar and then try to jerk right back into the lift. And, you know, every single lift, you need to be focusing on hitting those specific points, because in the end, our goal is to better our full lift of the snatch and the clean. And if you are going too quickly between that transition, you're never strengthening those weak link right. positions, because most people are weakest at those specific hangs. That's why we can lift more weight technically, or you should be capable of lifting more weight from the ground than you are from the knee or from the high hang. So going down, pausing that position, getting time under tension in yeah. that specific weak link position is going to be the most efficient for eventually building strength, allowing you to have control and owning that position right there, so that you can then carry it over to your full lift.
Yeah, absolutely. Give yourself a tempo, just like I talked about before with that high hang setup position. Hold your standing position for 2 seconds. One, two, lower from the hip to this above knee position, this transition point, for 2 or 3 seconds. Hold that above knee position for 2 seconds. It'll go so far in helping you with that awareness of this position that you need, especially if you've been lifting for a number of years and your position is different than what we just explained. Then this is going to help you make that change. It's going to give you more time to develop that awareness that will then lead into you developing more strength, and then eventually as much strength as possible within this position. Another thing about these exercises as well, the snatch from the hip, snatch from above the knee, if you've changed your grip, if that's different, if what we recommended is different, well, this is your opportunity to learn to lift with this new grip, probably wider grip from the hip, and then from the knee as well. Learn to contact, learn to feel and be aware of that contact at that specific point that we're talking about with that new grip, if it is a new grip. But basically what you've got to do here, just like the reason why I have people do so many pause squats in their extreme buried position, is that you want to show your body where you want it to go within the lift. So if you're in this bottom position of your squat with the bar in the front rack, or with the bar overhead, and you're pausing, and I'm going to take us back to the overhead squat here, the overhead position, one of the best ways that you can strengthen that overhead squat position, that you become more aware of it, and so your body's going to use it with higher quality, is pausing in that bottom position, just like pausing in this position above the knee and working in and making sure that you're consistent in getting into that good position. You're trying to teach and show your body where you want it to go within your heaviest snatches and cleans.
And I think a lot of this too, when we're talking about tempo changes, can also be very applicable to people who have been in the game for a while, just because mm-hmm. a lot of times if you've been in the sport for 5, 8, 10 years, you know, you've maybe only trained under one coach during that time, you've probably gotten accustomed to the way that coach likes to train and program and whatnot. And sometimes you may have never exposed your body to a different type of training, just because there's many different varieties and ways in which we can program the lifts. And sometimes if you've hit a plateau and you've been trying to, you know, banging your head against the wall, trying to figure out, how do I get over this plateau? And maybe just exposing your body, if you've never done any tempo training, like, you know, a slow pull to the knee, a 2 second pause, and then go into your full hang. Different things like that, or changing up the tempo at which you're lowering and then going into your snatch. Things like that can sometimes mm-hmm. be a game changer at exposing yourself to a different variety of tempo and a different stimulus of training that you've never had before, that can be almost that spark that gets you over the hump as far as breaking through a plateau sometimes.
Absolutely guaranteed. And I've seen a couple of examples of individuals that have been lifting for a number of years, and they, when they do a regular snatch, it looks good. They've been doing the lifts. They know how to snatch, and you wouldn't really see any specific weaknesses or faults in there even. But if you break the movement apart and have them do some tempos like you're talking about, have them pause above the knee, and you can see the bar wanting to drift away from their body, whatever that little compensation or weakness may be, like you said, we've exposed it. And now by having them go through that position and pause and do tempos and that kind of thing can just increase their potential in the lift exponentially. One of the things that I want to say before we move into the next point, Aaron, is that, of course, mobility is going to play a big factor here as well in all parts of your body. I'll say if your hamstrings are tight, for example, you're trying to get into the position with your toes buried into the ground and with your knees back to a certain extent, there's a slight bend in your knee. And so with you leaning over the bar and your back, trying to keep your back tight, your knees might want to drag forward a little bit more if your hamstrings are really tight. So if the best that you can do in this position with your back tight and you're pushing back on your hamstrings as hard as you can is vertical, and that's your in range. Well, what I've seen is that your body is not going to create that position when you do a snatch because it is your extreme in range. So you need to develop a little bit of excess in that regard.
Mm-hmm. And as we're talking about mobility and bringing in the hamstrings into this, just for those of you out there who also are dealing with things like this, you know, the classic hamstring stretch where you're laying on your back, grabbing your foot with a band or just with a friend and, you know, pulling it to the ceiling to feel a good stretch with the hamstrings, that's not probably the most efficient way to improve flexibility of the hamstring, specifically if we're talking about getting into better positions for our techniques like the snatch. You know, doing some foam rolling, a good dynamic warm-up is always key, not just coming into the weight room, throwing shoes on and just grabbing a bar. Doing some dynamic work can help improve the mobility, the fluidity of our muscles and tissues back there. And then also doing some just like lightweight RDLs. You know, because an RDL is basically an elongation. We're getting that eccentric contraction, that elongation of the hamstrings. That can be helpful before jumping into doing a lot of this with weight, the technique work. So that can definitely be huge as well. So I guess let's go into the last tip of the day for improving snatch technique, which is check, adjust, and strengthen the start position. Let's start there. Now, I know one thing that we always talk about as far as the start position is in that initial pull, the first pull, like we talked about before, we obviously have a lot of leg drive that's a part of that. And in doing so, we need the glutes to be a very big contributor because they are powerful hip extensors. In my experience, most people don't have issues with their quads doing enough. Most people are very quad dominant. Unless you have had a recent knee injury where you have a lot of swelling in your knees, your quads are probably firing very well. In fact, I find that more often than not, the glutes are probably the area that it's not that they're not firing. It's just that there may not be firing as well. The coordination, the timing, the extent of their turning on may not be as efficient as they could be. A simple test that you do can be the single leg bridge test. You lay on your back, one leg straight, held in the air, the other leg is bent. You're going to do a bridge on one leg, and you're going to assess after holding for 10 seconds what muscles are working the hardest to keep your hips up. Ideally, in the movement of hip extension like you're doing, your two muscles or two muscle groups that create that movement are your hamstrings and your glutes. However, if you are very hamstring dominant in that your glutes aren't firing correctly, you won't feel your butt muscles working very well. Ideally, if you're doing a single leg bridge, we want to feel your glutes as the main firing action, muscle action of driving your hips off the ground. So test your right, test your left. What did you feel? If you are feeling your quads working really hard or your back or your hamstrings cramping up, it's just showing you that you could do some more work prior to getting under the bar to get those glutes firing that will have a better carryover to helping you pull in a more coordinated fashion, in a more technically sound way that your glutes are going to be contributing to the lift a little bit more. So that may be doing some double leg bridges with a bar across your hips, a hip thruster, so a bridge with your bar or your back on a bench. Different things like that can be helpful to help you improve your starting position in the way in which you're moving. What other things do you like to sort of check and adjust and strengthen that starting position, Chad?
Yeah, for sure. I've got a checklist that we're going to go through here. But first, let me say the bridge test and applying that type of thing is really relatively new to me. I've come across a number of athletes that I'm trying all these different things with, because they're whether they can lock their back in solid in the start position or not, they're having a hard time maintaining it. So it's always rounding from the ground. So I'm like looking at their hamstrings and I'm doing all these, different random things to try to figure out what's going on. And I've had a couple people recently where I've done the bridge test with, as you recommended, mm-hmm. and started applying some of these things that you talk about. And guess what? Now they can maintain their, now they can get into a better start position. They can maintain the tension in their back better through better glute activation. So that's been really cool for me to learn and see as well. So that's definitely, I'm glad that you brought that up and mentioned that, because I think there are going to be a lot of people out there that they're like, and we've had Instagram messages that have indicated this. I've tried everything and I can't maintain my back tension. So try that if you're in that boat. All right. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that we're going to look at once again is foot position. We've talked about foot position already, but here, once you get to the floor and you're checking this, this is where you might have to play with your feet a little bit. So wherever your feet need to be in the start position for you to be able to accommodate all these other things that we're going to go over, for you to lock your back in and that kind of thing. If you're having trouble locking your back in your start position, this is another thing that you can check and look at, is play with your feet position a little bit. Again, we don't want you to go too wide and turned out. But you might need to play with that. And this is the spot where you're going to be able to do that more than anything to help you get into the position that we want. All right. We've covered hand position as well. So put your hands where we've already indicated before. One of the things that I like, Aaron, and we should probably maybe chat about this a little bit, mm-hmm. is for the bar to be touching your shins. Now, I'm okay with the bar being out maybe an inch or so if you're more comfortable and if it's not causing you to fault beyond that. What I find is that most people that are setting the bar out front from their shin, it is causing them to fault. So that usually the bar just stays away from their body too much throughout the rest of the lift and all the other things that come with that. I find that 99% of the people that I come across do better, no matter what their body type is, no matter what their limb length proportions are, just by getting the bar to touch their shins. And then I set the rest of their body up from that. It helps with consistency in their setup. It helps with basically everything, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on that, Aaron?
I definitely agree. And I found that in my own lifting as well. Especially for those who have a very dynamic start at the beginning of their snatch, they'll get down there in a good position. They'll almost take a breath, raise the hips down, and then go. And if sometimes that dynamic start is not getting them back in that exact same position again, or they push the bar away, or the bar's too far away, I think it's almost setting yourself up to move incorrectly for the next couple, feet off that pull. I think mm-hmm. if the bar's too far away, I just think it's easier to pull yourself forward. It's easier to get onto your toes. Because if we look at the snatch from any, like a side view, and especially with a lot of elite lifters, I know Hook Grip has some great videos and slow-mos, that bar for most lifters comes back a little bit on that very first pull. It's usually not completely vertical. It usually, as that first pull is happening, because when we all are down there, depending on your limb lengths, it's going to be a little bit different, but the knees are usually a little forward. Our shins are angled forward in that bottom position and starting. And then as we're pulling with that first pull, the shins sort of move back to that vertical position, like you talked about. By the time the bar crosses the knees, usually your shins are fairly vertical. So in doing so, that bar needs to pull back as well and sort of replace where the shins were. I think that's a way that I heard it explained. I thought that made good visual sense to me. So I think the further the bar away is from your shins at the very start position, the more error there can be, the more room for error there is in maintaining a close bar position, which I think is just going to set you up for having an easier or a harder time at keeping that bar close for the continuation of that second pull into the power position. So you're going to have maybe a greater chance of that bar kicking away from you, being too far forward on your toes, and then being off balance even the rest of the pull.
Yeah, it's just something that you're going to have to make up for. Again, it's not something that I'm against with everyone if they just feel more comfortable with the bar out a little bit, as long as they're doing well after that, it's okay. But I promise you, most of you by and far are going to be better off just setting that bar right up against the shins. Another thing that I like to do with all the stuff that we're talking about, and I'll remind you guys of this at the end, is all these things that we're saying, and specifically we're talking about the bar touching the shin. Go look at the best lifters in the world. Go to Hook Grip or wherever else and just look at videos. Look at their shins. Is the bar touching their shins? More than likely, it's going to be. Very rarely do I see an elite lifter pull from the ground with the bar out from their shins any amount. So take a look at that. Compare and confirm these things that we're saying with the elite lifters as well. All right. Now, moving on to the next point, along with having that wider snatch grip that we've talked about, I'd like your knees to be flared all the way out to touching your arms. Now you're not pushing out so far that you're causing your arms to bend, but with a solid arm, that your arm should be kind of pushing against your knee and your knee against the inside of your arm. That's going to help activate your body and tighten your body as well. If you've got that, that pressure, that I'm talking about, again, go look at the elites and see what they're doing. I can't even think of any elites that I've seen with the snatch grip where they weren't very close to their arm or usually completely touching it. All right. Now on the clean, it's going to be a little bit different. I still want the same thing, but of course your knees are not going to be able to go out as far because your hands are more narrow.
I almost like using that as a little bit of a warm up while I'm just sitting there with the barbell, getting down into that bottom start position. As I'll sit there and I'll drive my knees out mm-hmm. against my arms. And obviously with my arms tensed, their knees can only go so far, but doing so and turning on the lateral glutes, because I think that's one thing. Before you even pull the bar from the ground, the second before the barbell even moves, those legs should be so tensed and turned on the muscle activation wise that you should have a great amount of power exploding up through that next portion of the pull. I think a lot of people, they will think that the power will almost be coming from their arms and tensioning their upper body, but they don't think about almost pre-tensing their leg muscles in the activation of their legs before the pull begins. And I think that can have a dramatic effect on how easy that bar is pulled from the floor.
Yeah, I'll say that there have been a number of cases through the year that I've been teaching at a clinic or whatever, where the only thing that I changed was widening their knees. So getting their knees from pointing more straight ahead or even inside of their toes, like I talked about before, to now out, and within one rep, it just made all the difference. Now that isn't always the magic button, but in a lot of cases I've found that it has been, especially for someone that's lifting with those knees more straight ahead or with those knees inside of their toes. Now, make sure that when you're doing this, you're trying this out, you're trying to get your knees out to your arms, that you're not changing your foot position to make that happen, or that you're not, that your big toe isn't coming off the ground. I see that a lot. Either their toes coming off the ground, or without them even realizing it, their feet widen and their toes turn out so they can more easily find that. I don't want this to be easy. I want this to be a point of tension, like we talked about, Aaron. So what they're doing is they're allowing their feet to go somewhere where they can do it more comfortably. It doesn't have to be comfortable. It's something that we need to force. Now you'll get more comfortable with it as you do it. But if it needs to be forced in the beginning, that's perfectly okay. It's okay if it's not comfortable. Now, we also come across a lot of individuals that don't have the mobility to keep their feet solid on the ground with a more strong, powerful foot position and get their knees out that much. Now, if you're in that situation, if you're that athlete, I promise you that your squat isn't anywhere near where we want it to be. So all the things that you should be doing to try to fix your squat, to be able to get your knees out more effectively with a good foot position in your squat, will definitely bleed into the start position in this regard. So just keep on doing that. Hopefully you're already doing those things. Now we get into the upper body and what the arms are doing a little bit more. A couple things that I like to say, I want the elbows to point out, or tricep on top, or flex the tricep. If you flex the tricep, your tricep isn't going to be pointing back. It's going to be pointing to the outside. So it's going to be on top of your arm. The pit of your elbows should be facing each other. If they're not, what's happening if the pit of your elbow is pointing straight forward or even pointing in that direction, your arm is now in a position to bend. You're not in a position to be able to use your lats as much, for example. So what you'll see as the athlete is trying to push back and keep the bar close, because their arm is in a position to bend, it's going to bend, right? If your tricep is on top and your tricep is flexed, now you're more able to keep your arm straight, not only to more able to keep your arm straight, but to engage those lats and push back on the bar and to keep the bar straight. Up top, what that's going to translate to is the pit of your elbows facing each other, is you're going to be able to keep the bar closer, again, going from the hip over the top of your head. This is a position that requires a lot of upper body and shoulder mobility as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is a internally rotated shoulder position. So that's why with a lot of the videos that I show, it is internal rotation, which drives your elbows out to the side facing the weights. In that position, that bar is close to our body. Our lats are very turned on. So the big lat muscles that create that big V shape on your back, those are very powerful internal rotators. So by internaling your arm, internally rotating your arm, and then during the pull, keeping that bar close, you're activating your lats to the greatest potential. Now, as that bar is then transitioned into the overhead position, we are then moving into an externally rotated position. So despite what some coaches may preach online, the overhead position of a snatch is an externally rotated shoulder position. Mm-hmm. You can read a ton of biomechanical research on this. When the arm moves overhead, it externally rotates. That's mm-hmm. the only position the shoulder can go into and have the palms straight up and down to catch the weight. You could then change, I guess some people will say, well, they're creating an internal torque or an external torque. Mm-hmm. I think we're diving too into the details of, like, you know, tomato, tomato. I think when you look across the board at most elite lifters, mm-hmm. they are in the exact same position overhead. The elbow, the pit of the elbow, like you talked about, is facing straight up and down. You can yep. see from the front view that line of the bicep crease. The palms are straight up and down. They're in an externally rotated shoulder position. But to start, you need to be internally rotated. So the arms are long, locked out, and the elbow joint is facing out towards the weight. And that is something I think that can be extremely helpful for a lot of people that have problems in kicking the bar away too soon and sort of looping the bar out. Is often they're starting in, as soon as they pull the bar from the ground, they're bending their elbows and they're mm-hmm. pulling. I think it happens more so in a clean than a snatch, but I think the same yep. thing still applies, is they lose that internal rotation lock of their shoulders and arms, and then they move to more external rotation too soon, which then as that bar gets pulled past the knee into the hip and then into the transition turnover, they're mm-hmm. moving too soon, which is allowing them to kick the bar away and then yeah. loop the bar around.
Yeah, it's an interesting occurrence that you're kind of describing, and that I've come across probably a little too often, is the pit of the elbow facing forward or close to it in the pull. And then so they're going from that forward facing elbow pit to a forward facing elbow pit overhead, right? Mm-hmm. And we want the opposite. We want an inward facing elbow pit in the start and through the pull, turning over to a inward facing elbow pit. So if you guys will kind of look at it that way, or tricep on top through the pull, tricep on bottom as you turn over.
That's a good going in.
Yeah, so those characteristics are very important, and that's another thing to pay attention to when you're working your overhead position that we talked about. Confirm and solidify and strengthen your overhead position. Well, pay attention to where the tricep, the elbows are, and that kind of thing. Just a quick kind of few things to think about overhead are wrist back, elbow locked with the tricep on bottom. And then that helps create that good and strong shoulder position that we're talking about there. Now, one of the things in this position to lock your arm in and to lock in and engage the way that we want you to in general, Aaron, I heard you use a cue the other day that I've never heard before, and mm-hmm. I'm going to steal it and start using it. You said something about pinching the armpits together or something like that. That's
actually something I got from a few different powerlifters have used that as far as a way to engage their traps or their lats during mm-hmm. the pull of a deadlift, is they would mm-hmm. say sort of hide your armpits. And you'll mm-hmm. see a lot of these lifters as they get ready to pull the bar, they sort of pull everything back. Mm-hmm. Now they're not I think a lot of people will try to think about their shoulder blades. And I think that's an incorrect way to sort of don't, I think we're getting too detailed there if we're thinking about the exact position of the shoulder blades. I like thinking big picture, you know, hide your armpit, sort of engage your body. You want to feel your entire upper body tight and stiff and ready to go. Like someone could come over, try to punch you or push you over, and you're not going anywhere. You're creating yourself into this massive tensioned, I guess, statue that's ready to explode out of that position. And then you start your pull. And I think too often we get people that they don't necessarily generate the right amount of tension prior to starting their pull. And it just leads to what we would call energy leaks. I think Dr. Stuart McGill is big with that, that as soon as the pull starts or the, whatever movement you're doing starts, if you haven't solidified enough stability throughout your entire body from head to toe, it's easy to allow the power that you're generating to bleed out or leak out because you're going to see compensations like the back will start rounding or maybe the upper back moves out or you know even the elbow bending too soon is could be a potential energy leak. So I think you know when you're hiding the armpits and that cue works for some people, it doesn't work for others. It's always about finding what works best for your body. But I think it can engage that upper lat or that side lat just a little bit more in creating that stiff arm position so that your pull is that much better. I think if you think about it, like when you get under a barbell, you can pick up the barbell off the rack, like if we're doing a back squat, or you can squeeze your shoulder blades together. You can, you know, pinch your shoulder blades and create that big muscle shelf and then walk the barbell off the rack. And it feels completely different.
Yeah.
All you did was engage your upper back just a little differently. And I think the same thing can apply in a little bit different manner to the pull from the floor, whether we're doing a clean or a snatch, is by engaging those upper back muscles to help pull the bar off the ground with that much more tension.
Yeah. One way that I like to look at it, and I tell athletes it really in any position, we'll talk specifically about the start position. If you're pinching your shoulder blades for together, for example, and that's how you feel like maybe you've been taught that, or that's what the cue that you use to try to lock in. If you're tight anywhere in your body where it's unnecessary or you know, a little more inappropriate, it's going to take away tension from another part of your body that does need to be tight. So it's very important to find what needs to be done for you. I'm not opposed to shoulder blades together if it helps someone lock in the way that I want to move through the lift. That would probably need to be from somebody that has an extreme amount of lacking mobility, right? For that cue to work. So by and far, most people don't need to pinch your shoulder blades together as Aaron was talked about. But we may come back to some tips on how to exaggerate the tension where you need it from the floor. But all the things that we already laid out are going to be very appropriate to help you do that, along with ensuring that your shoulders are in the proper position in relation to the bar. So this is kind of getting into now what your angles look like, the angle of your shin, the angle of your thigh, the angle of your back, right? Your back angle. People talk about back angle all the time, and it has to do with where your shoulders are in relation to the bar. You hear coaches and athletes in the community say all the time and teach shoulders in front of the bar. I've even said shoulders in front of the bar. I've started to get away from that for the last handful of years, because I feel what happens for most people is that it puts them too far in front of the bar with your shoulders. So I like to reword it and say shoulders on top of the bar. Here's the way I want you to look at it. A demo that I do all the time now is I'll get a kettlebell and I'll put it right between my feet, right where a bar would be if it was touching my shin in the start position as we discussed. I'll exaggerate my shoulders in front of that kettlebell. I'll pick it up a couple inches and I'll relax my arms and lats. And if you can envision, what happens is the kettlebell swings away from my body, right? So now I'll do it again. I'll put the kettlebell in the same spot on my foot. I'll now get my shoulders directly on top of that kettlebell, right? So this requires me to sink down. My hips are down lower. My back angle is greater. My knees are bent more. So I'm sunk down quite a bit more for my shoulders to be on top. Now I pick it up a couple inches and I completely relax my arms and my lats, and guess where the bar is? It's still right there in line with my shin. So think about that. I want you to think more of your shoulders being on top of the bar as opposed to in front, especially we definitely don't want them in front excessively. It's just like the bar setting away from your shin in the start. It's just something that you're going to have to make up for. And more often than not, you're not going to make up for it. It's just going to drag you forward from that point. So getting the shoulders on top of the bar, after you go through the checklist that we laid out already, that's going to put you in a strong position. And that alone as well, by itself, can help you lock in better.
Yeah, I think if you think about those things, you know, the shoulders over the bar, creating those long locked out arms, elbows are turned out to the side, and then creating a ton of tension in that position with the bar close to you, you know, and ready to pull the bar back into you as you start that transition to the first pull, right there is going to put your shoulder blades in good position. So I think too often, like I said, people are overanalyzing and thinking, well, do I need to squeeze my shoulder blades back and down to the side? You know, like, don't think about your shoulder blades. Think about the big movements of getting your arms locked out in a good position, pull the bar close to your body, shoulders in a good position, stacked over the barbell, create a lot of tension, and then go. You know, sometimes I think we can get too nitpicky and that can do a disservice to us in overanalyzing, I think, sometimes the lift.
Yeah, a lot of times in that regard, athletes have their shoulders kind of shrugged up, and I know we've done a post on this before as well, Aaron. So you need to make sure that what I like to say is that you take the slack out of your body. So that's straightening your arms. That's making sure that you're not shrugged up any at all with your traps, but rather your arms and your shoulders are down. You're kind of, one of the things that you can do once you create the angles that we're looking for is that you can push you can push down and back on the bar. So your arms and your shoulders are long, all the slack is out, you're pushing down and back. That helps you lock out in more in the way that we want. Now, in regards to shin angle to go along with this, what I want you to think about, so your shoulders are on top of the bar, and if the bar is touching your shin and your entire foot is buried into the ground, toes are down, heels are down, not just heels, not just toes, but you're solid on your foot, that should put your shin in the angle that it needs to be. So if you'll envision your shins being back too far in this position, that's going to put you too far on your heels. If you can envision there's not much pressure on your heels, but you feel it a lot in your toes, only your toes, that's going to put your shins a little bit too far, right? So find that middle ground on your foot with the shoulder on top of the bar and the bar touching. Those things together make for those good angles and that good strong start position that we want, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think on top of that, sort of the last little thing to add on is just also the power of the breath. This was something that we talked about in my last podcast. That was just in terms of the squat or deadlift, but obviously the same thing applies to the snatch. Before everything moves, you're getting braced, great positioning, good angles. Take a big breath, brace your core, hold your breath, and then go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also going to solidify that core stability, increase that intra-abdominal cavity pressure, IAP, which is going to improve the stability of your core. And it all comes from the core. If you start pulling with a weak core, your back's instantly going to round. All the tension that you developed in your upper body and your lower body is instantly going to leak out, and the lift is just going to go to crap. So it all starts big breath, brace your core. I know everyone likes to use a different cue. I like sort of brace for a punch. And then going from there. And I think that's going to, with all those different things that we hit on the checklist, going to give you a great looking starting position for your snatch. And if you're starting in a good position, you're more likely to end up in a more favorable end position. So, anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah. Real quick. Just a couple things I wanted to add, because I know start position, and we're talking about start position and angles. It can be very confusing. And even if they follow the checklist that we just laid out there, they're probably going to ask, is this right or is this not? Well, just one more trick that I can give you to make sure, or to help you make sure that your back angle is what we want it to be, beyond being in the middle of your foot, shoulders being on top and the bar touching your shin. If you think about the concept that coaches and athletes say all the time in Olympic lifting, is I want you to maintain your back angle from the floor to above the knee. That's absolutely true. It's not, people say that in the deadlift, and it's not physically possible if your hips are in a high rounded back deadlift position, which is okay for the deadlift. It's not literally possible. It is literally possible in the Olympic lifts, and we want it to happen. So what that means is that if you can follow our standards for the above knee position, for the transition position, and you get into what your ideal position is there, take a picture or video and see what your back angle is. And if you'll just match that to the ground, what I find is that 99% of the athletes that I've come across, If they match those angles, one, they're capable of it. And that is what ends up being what I would say is ideal for them. So now they can literally maintain their back angle from the floor to above their knee, and to get in, that helps them get into that good above knee position as well. So match those angles, take a picture, take a video of yourself and see if your back angles match from the above knee position to that start position, and that can help you. Another thing that I think can help a lot, where I feel by and far most people need to be, again, where most elite lifters are anyway, is they're coming from a static start position. So especially if you're learning and you're making changes on what we just described, you're going to need to do that for a while, even if you feel more powerful and stronger from a dynamic start position. I'm not against dynamic start positions, but you need to make sure that you're solid and consistent static first. And what static means is you're going to find your start position. You're going to lock in and hold it again. I like a two count. Lock in and hold it. One, two, now initiate with control from the floor. I say this all the time, unless you're Kendrick Ferris, if you guys don't know who Kendrick Ferris is, look him up, but he's a three-time Olympian. He does clean deadlifts with like 260 or 270 kilos. That's well over, up close to 600 pounds. And it's above and beyond what he's able to clean and jerk. I think his best clean and jerk is probably somewhere around 210 or 215 kilos. So that's, not a high percentage of what he's doing deadlifts with, clean deadlifts with, or snatch deadlifts with, four sets of 10 reps. So because Kendrick has done that for so long and he's so strong coming from the floor, he can be as dynamic as he wants.
Yeah. And I think too, like I mentioned earlier, I think the more dynamic your start early on, especially when you're first learning. And I think anyone, if we're still considering, you know, your first 5 years, 6 years, mm-hmm. you know, competing in Olympic lifting, I think you're still considered by most part, still a beginner. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you have an increased risk of starting off in a less than ideal position with a very dynamic start, because there's so much more that can go wrong as far as kicking the bar away or not having the bar as ideally close to your shin angle during that pull. So, you know, initiating that pull with a static start at first can be very, very helpful at just locking in those ideal positions and transitions that we want to see.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think that is just a little bit over an hour of podcasting on top five snatch tips. I think we just laid out a ton of content that people can really take away and benefit their lifting. And we will definitely have to come back and do another one of these for the clean and jerk very soon. And obviously we'll probably have to put that into two different podcasts, because I think we could talk all day long about the clean and then also the jerk. So, right. Chad, for all those, I know we mentioned your Instagram handle earlier, Oli Chad. Where else can people find you? And I know that you've also been writing a lot of blog posts recently. So where can people check those out at?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing a lot of writing for a lot of years now, but finally trying to put it together. And Aaron, I appreciate all the help and recommendations that you've given me. Mm-hmm. If you guys look at my Instagram and you see my recent posts, you'll see they look very much like Aaron's do. So I basically kind of copied his style, and I learned a lot from Aaron's videos as well. So that's why they very much look the same. But I've been doing a lot more writing, and you can see those on my website at vaughnweightlifting.com. It's got the WordPress in there right now, so I'm trying to get that taken care of. But vaughnweightlifting.com is a website. I've got a blog section on there. I've got two out right now. I've got a lot more that I've already written that I'll be putting out, as we go through the weeks here. And Aaron, you and I have worked together on a couple of those posts, so I'm excited to get those that we've worked on together out here very soon.
Very cool. So if you guys have any interest in learning a lot more about the Olympic lifts, Chad is the man to go to. He's got an endless amount of knowledge to give to you guys, and is also taking a very similar mindset as I am, is we can never give away enough information for free. And I think when you give away your best information for free, you can truly make a very big impact in the world today. And that's what it's really all about. So Chad, I wanted to thank you again for coming on today's show. I hope you guys all enjoyed all the content that we had. If you did enjoy it, please share it with your friends and family. Take screenshots of the podcast if you're listening on your phone. Share it over on Instagram. Make sure to tag Chad and I so we can personally reach out and say thank you. And if you enjoyed it, please head on over to the iTunes store, wherever you're listening to this from, and give us a rating, review. Let me know how you're enjoying all the content of the show. So until next week, guys, happy squatting.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.